Welcome to Red Eye. It's like what's happening if by happening you mean screaming in my attic. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for our pregame report. Andy, what is coming up on tonight's show?
Thanks, Greg. Coming up on the big show, what makes White House counsel Katherine Rumler such an important part of the president's inner circle? It's got to be the shoes. Older viewers will get that reference. Plus, we enter week two of having a story in our rundown about 3D printers eventually being used as Star Trek-style food replicators to feed the hungry. Will we finally get to it? Stick around to find out. Mm-hmm. And finally, will former America's sweetheart Reese Witherspoon play a former America's first lady? Some say yes, but America's newest sweetheart, i.e. this guy, says no. Greg?
Thanks, Andy.
You betcha.
So how was Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, it was great.
You didn't leave your apartment, did you?
Nope.
God bless you. Let's welcome our guests. Well, she's so hot that parents of stoves tell their children not to touch her. I'm here tonight with Kimberly Guilfoyle. She's one of my fellow co-hosts on The Five. I often talk to her at time to time. Well, if comedic ability was a roller coaster, I'd ride him until I threw up. It's comedian Joe DeVito, not the erotic hypnotist often seen in Boston. Well, he's our tan mom. In Nova Scotia, he's also known as Bait, Bill Schultz. Seriously, dude. And he knows. Well, I mean, really. Oh, my goodness. What happened to you?
I'm like a beef jerky.
Well, look at that.
Oh, ready to be. Snap into me.
Oh. And he'd eat you.
All right, moving on. And he knows DC like I know VD. I'm talking, obviously, about my good friend Vin Diesel. Sitting right next to me, Reason Magazine's editor-in-chief, Matt Welch.
A Block, the lead. That's the first story. Thanks again for dinner, Greg. How'd you know I love salmon?
Oh, shut the hell up. Her shoes make news. Well, they chose bunions over Benghazi. The Washington Post reports that White House Chief Counsel Katherine Rumler is known in the West Wing for her fabulous footwear. Also, her taste for human flesh. Not really. But you believe me. Rumler first drew attention for her hot heels as a Justice Department prosecutor in 2006, prompting one Legal Affairs blog to, at the time, to call her a star litigatrix. Don't you hate it when they add tricks to stuff? I hate it. That's the only reason why we're doing this story. Now she favors Manolos and Louis Vuittons, which incidentally are the names of my two twin mistresses. And the Post reveals, quote, one of Rumler's pairs has a jeweled paisley pattern. Another is black and strappy. Quick sidebar, she reportedly knew for days or weeks about the IRS targeting Tea Party groups and didn't tell President Obama. But that part is boring, right? Tell me more about those stupid effing shoes. Meanwhile, Kimberly Guilfoyle prefers something more comfortable. At home, she straps two of these on her feet. Who knew Bill had a little brother? Actually, I did. Kimberly, I have to go to you because you are basically the human centipede of shoes.
That's correct. I'm very proud of it. Okay. And I'm going to rumble in the jungle with Rumler because she's trying to get after my shoes, I can tell. I've got the Louis Vuittons on my research for this segment. Hit me.
All right. Does it bother you, or why do you think they chose to focus on her shoes? Is this because they don't want to focus on scandals, or because they're just, Washington Post is just sexist and only thinks about what women put on their feet?
Shoes are so much more fun, just ask Imelda Marcos. I mean, come on, why do you want to focus on real scandals, newsworthy events, when you can do something frivolous like shoes? For instance, I find the story kind of a little more interesting because it has the mention about her shoes, but it's a woman. They tend to do that. People have done that about me, right, with the shoes.
Yes.
I have my own Twitter following for my shoes.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like, you know, we, Red Eye, we don't try to use a woman's, you know, sexuality
like,
when we're doing
like a leg chair
yeah, like
or
a
something so demeaning.
Exactly, exactly. Matt, can the Washington Post do a story like this without secretly dying inside? I mean, can you actually hear their soul this, scrunch up?
This is a tried and true thing called a source greaser, right? It's the term of art in journalism that you grease up the source by writing a darling little story. They had one in the Washington Post last week about Jay Carney.
Yes!
About his
Guided by Voices.
Adorable crush on Guided by Voices.
Yes.
How he plays in a little band that he doesn't want anyone to hear with a couple of his buddies. He gets a Motor Away reference, you know, in press conferences and this kind of stuff. And it's terrible reading this because you don't want to think that Jay Carney's a human.
Yeah.
Because he's exercising power as a government official.
Right.
But it's what the Washington Post or what newspapers do generally. You want to like butter up the source so that they'll be nice to you next time that you do a story. It's kind of disgusting.
No one has ever bothered to grease me up as a source anyway. No, that makes total sense now. It's a strategy. Joe, you have a collection of women's shoes in your closet, some still with feet in
them. This is true.
Do you think if there was a big scandal during the Bush presidency, they would have done a big footwear story on, say, Dick Cheney?
They could have been barefoot. They wouldn't even have noticed. Actually, I'll also be appearing in a movie called Source Greaser.
Really?
It's the follow-up to Black and Strappy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I don't see how they can mention her high-heeled shoes and leave out the riding crop. I think that's where the real story is.
Yes.
I think this is part of a plan just to keep us distracted. To say, and if she's going to try and use that to distract us from Benghazi and the AP scandal and the IR, she's got to show up in a pair of giant Gene Simmons Kiss Dragon Claw boots, because it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Bill, for shoes, you strap waste baskets on your feet. Isn't that Fox's property?
It's Fox's property, but it's my duty to make my feet feel as good as possible. And the story here is, why do women do this to themselves? A source greaser should be something you slather on your foot before you strap on one of those horrific things, making your feet look like uncooked sirloin steaks. You're gonna have a bunch of older women, generation from now, they're either gonna be in wheelchairs or they're gonna have bunions the size of bowling balls because of the unnatural way they put their feet in these things.
Okay, for a dollar after the show, I'll let you see my feet, and then this is going to be
I'm
going to
do more than see them. I'm hungry. Toes a la carte.
I think it's kind of, it also says something about how desperate people who work in, that, like, it's a big deal that this person has a tiny, like, variable in her personality. You know, because everybody is so boring. It's like, oh, this person wears neat shoes.
Right. I mean, have you been to Washington recently? I was there this past week. It's amazing. I used to live there until a year ago, like how incredibly gentrified it has become. I mean, all this money has washed in there. And so you need the hometown newspaper to be like a lifestyle newspaper.
Right.
How are we all sort of living in the modern world right now? Well, some of us are listening to Guided by Voices or buying shoes or going to Bang & Olufsen's and all this kind of stuff.
Going to Bang & what?
Bang & Olufsen, twin.
This is a family show, guys. Although I like Swedes as much as the next person.
All right. From pumps to pops. He came undone because his son couldn't run. Yep, he gets a medal in meddling. A New Jersey father, is there any other kind, has filed a lawsuit after his kid was kicked off his high school track team. Irvin Mears Jr. claims that participation in extracurricular activities is a right and that booting his boy constitutes bullying and harassment. But the school says the sophomore was dismissed from the squad because of unexcused absences, which dad says were due to an injured leg and a death in the family. The problem started freshman year when the youngster wasn't allowed to compete, even though his dad says he may have been faster than seniors who did. This is a long story.
I think it's getting better.
I got to take a break. All right. So the suit claims that keeping him on the bench would have cost him a college scholarship. Hmm. Now the father is asking the court for $40 million, two varsity letters, and two championship jackets. Meanwhile, this puppy was recently cut from the ball-catching team.
Puppy lettered and being stupid.
Yeah.
It's way too big for you.
Yeah, what a dumb dog that is. As a dog owner, I would be embarrassed. I don't know, though. Joe, this lawsuit will probably make the kid extremely popular with the rest of the team, don't you think?
Yeah, well, the father also claimed that he was being bullied because he wasn't allowed to run. Not because his name is Mahu Ismenha is what they named him. That certainly wouldn't have anything to do with as a source of bullying. Mm-hmm. But if he's said like he's concerned about loss of future earnings or scholarships, well, if you can still do after-school activities, why not join the chess club? Because I'll bet your kids who are in the chess club, if you add up how much money they make in their lifetime, it's going to be a lot more than all the athletes do. Mm-hmm. Because aside from the superstar athletes, it's not really that great an investment.
That is a good point. I was thinking, Kimberly, because you claim to be an attorney. No proof of that whatsoever.
Who cares, though? I mean, it sounds good.
It really does. does. How can extracurricular activities be a right? Or could it be a right? That's really what this article is about. It's about identifying something as a right.
Well, this used to be America, but not so much since last week, I decided. So this actually may be a right. And if so, I want a lot of money and to be back on the cheerleading squad. I want to relive my senior year. But he wants $40 million.
Yeah.
Varsity jacket, letters, a whole deal, because he wants his son to be able to get this college scholarship. So he says he's been damaged. It's an interesting case. He's not going to be able to prevail. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you may be awesome, but you have to show up and participate and not
so
have all
true.
These unexcused absences. Kind of like when you don't show up for work and you like still want the credit.
That is so true that I'm like
now
that.
Now you get it?
Yeah. Yes. Now I see it from the other side. Yeah. I am kind of a jerk. Matt, $40 million. That seems like they're lowballing it. Shouldn't they get something a little higher than that?
If we factor in inflation and the time that you and I went to high school and all of the abusive bullying that our coaches gave us, I think $100 million is the opening bid. No, how did this dad make a coach of a high school track team look sympathetic?
Yes.
Obviously, this guy is terrible, and he's riding some kid because he hates his dad or whatever.
Yeah.
A $40 million bullying abusive. I'm convinced that basically our childhood is totally criminal.
Yeah.
By current modern standards. There's
I
no
could
way
not.
They'd let us get
they
away
would
with
have
it,
taken me. They would have taken me out of my parents' grasp if they knew what was going on in my house. It was a lot of...
Oh, my gosh.
No, it was just a lot of sleeping. I didn't really do much of anything, Bill.
You went to Sarah High School.
I did go to Sarah.
One of the best high schools in the country.
But this is why I hated extracurricular activities. Yeah. I hated. I just wanted to go home and watch TV.
Well, you were reclusive.
I was. I still am, as a matter of fact. Bill, you've been championing for decades the right to suck. And I commend you on that. Do you think being a right to being in a sport is an actual right?
Yes. You guys are not looking at this from the dad's perspective. I have three super illegitimate daughters, Pebbles, Megatron, and Shineno, and all of them are not going to college on my watch. I can't afford that crap.
Right.
I want them to be invested in sports. Then maybe they can get some higher learning. Right now, the only thing they're invested in is sleeping with their science teacher, Mr. Stevenson's. And I'm mad at all of you. Go to bed, girls.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
They can stay out there, both.
Greg,
they're on their 40s.
Didn't one of the big lessons of sports used to be overcoming, like you worked your way up? Because I always tell the story of Michael Jordan not making varsity,
right.
And then he had to go on JV. And you know what? Michael Jordan's still bitching about that.
Yes.
It's like 30 years ago.
Exactly.
He's still complaining about it.
It was his speech.
But it worked.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think that it's just a testament to how bad our society has become, which is usually what I say at the end of a story when I don't have an opinion. I just go, this is a testament of how bad our society has become. All right, from dads to fads. You've been waiting for months for this story. Can a device build a slice? Well, 3D food printers are really happening. A company called Systems and Materials Research Corporation, thank you for that, or SMRC for short, just landed a NASA grant to create a universal food processor. That's the diagram there. The inventor, Ajahn Contractor, hopes that someday we'll all be making meals one layer at a time from cartridges of powder and oils bought at the store.
Wow.
And he thinks this could help end world hunger. Up first, a pizza printer. Yes, you heard me, fellas. I'm beginning to sound like somebody who does TV in the morning. Hold on a second. But for now, Anjan is working on printing food for astronauts on long space missions. Here's how they currently prepare a meal in space. Kimberly kept going, is this some kind of joke?
Yeah.
No, Kimberly, that's actually what they do at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
Not with the eggshells on it.
Not with the eggshells on it.
I know.
Oh, team Kimberly on this one.
I told you that once we put that on there, she was going to see right past that. Would you eat a 3D pizza, KG?
I might. I've been known to eat three-day-old pizza, sort of a distant cousin of it. But, yeah, no, I've eaten some pretty gnarly things in desperate moments, and I just look to Bill Schultz for my inspiration.
Aww.
I feel better about it.
I'm keeping my mouth shut on that one.
Joe, you have a mouth, which makes you probably
eat. I do consume.
Could this be, in my mind, bigger than the internet?
Absolutely. There's who doesn't enjoy a nice home extruded meal?
Yes.
Being pumped out, making like a kind of noise. What I want to know is why none of the cool stuff from the future is happening.
Right.
Like, we don't get the rocket packs and any of that stuff.
No,
but we're getting like Soylent Green pizza printers.
Yes.
It's going to be like the protein paste from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff sounds, it sounds almost as bad as the pizza Domino's is already making.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the things that I grew up with that, the only thing that comes close are Star Trek phasers are basically what our phones look like now.
It's not that, bad. And we have driverless cars.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's two.
And
what else?
The little Luke Skywalker hovercrafts actually couldn't work.
Wookiees. We have Wookiees.
We have lifelike, we have lifelike artificial dolls you can have sex with.
Yes, finally. Yeah.
They're called the Kardashians. Ladies and gentlemen, Leno, you can have that. Matt, I got a question for you. What food would you be most looking forward to in a 3D printer?
You know, the thing that I don't understand here is, like, you have to add the actual food ingredients here. Don't we have, like, food robots that already do this? The microwave is a hell of an
Yes.
You don't understand. You don't.
I mean, I would make a burrito. I make a burrito no matter what happens. I wake up in the morning, I make a burrito. You get a tortilla, put cheese on that bad boy, and you have something.
I would like to make wine in that, and I would like to make pigs in a blanket.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good thing. No, but I do think that once we figure out how to store stuff, it'll be a giant wall in your place.
Right.
Your apartment, and you just go, I think I'm gonna have pepperoni pizza and a nice Merlot, and then it'll go. I guess, yeah, it's true. You just could have bottles of wine and perhaps some pizza. But last word, Bill.
But this would be way more expensive and take a really long time.
Yes.
So thank you, Matt.
But Bill, you already eat
and
from
fava
a,
beans.
You already eat from a printer, Bill, but it's mostly paper and ink that you eat.
Yes, this is all toner. I was famished. I was famished before the show. Yeah, they're justifying this by saying, well, everyone who says we shouldn't be putting so much funds into NASA, look what they've just done.
Amazing.
They made pizza.
Yeah.
That's the one thing they're grabbing at. Make something cool with that. Everyone knows how to make a pizza. Now, I know what goes into crystal meth, but I don't know how to make it. I know it involves maybe a bathtub and a gnarly old chemist teacher, but I don't know how to bring the stuff together. Make that for me, and I make money.
A bathtub and a chemist teacher, that's also your Friday night. You know, I predicted this over 2 years ago on Red Eye. Let's roll that SOT.
Makes you whatever the hell you want.
The first step is probably going to be a pizza printer, because you're going to have the basic, you're going to have a cartridges of tomato sauce and flour and a cartridge of like pastrami or pepperoni.
Right.
And then you just kind of go blah, blah, blah. And then every year, you can just keep changing the cartridges and you're just going to keep printing out pizzas. That was, I think, 2007, I think, we actually ran that. Pretty impressive, don't you think?
So the clock gets it right one time every 5 years?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you hit us with some lottery numbers?
Yeah. We'll
All right, shut up, everybody.
I want math.
We got to take a break. Coming up, how can we fix the economy? Kimberly Guilfoyle discusses her new book, Out of My Sight, Why Unattractive People Should Be Required to Live Under the Earth's Surface.
Wow.
So cruel. But first, should you date a coworker? Probably not. It's still awkward when I see Deucey in the halls. Is it okay to date your office mate, Kimberly? Well, finally, a survey about workplace hookups. The poll conducted by Business Insider found that most people would be up for sex with a coworker if the opportunity arose. Also, 90% admitted to being sexually attracted to a colleague.
Obviously.
64% said that they had hit on one before. 54% had actual sex. And 97% said they'd rather have sex with a fax machine than Bill Schultz.
My nickname's fax machine, so you lose.
No, they win. All right. 90% said HR doesn't need to know diddly about coworkers diddling. For more, let's go live to Red Eye's relationship expert, Cody.
Cody!
Cody!
Cody! Cody!
What?
Untrue.
What is all that?
That is not.
Oh God.
I think we might need to look at that. Maybe later.
Wow.
I don't know. Should we just see a little bit more of that? I don't know if I want to see.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is, but I think we need to.
It's like somebody threw Cody in a blender.
That dog needs to go to the vet.
Yeah, the dog has issues.
Oh,
all right,
man.
We got to get back to the story about workplace sex.
Crying.
Even though it's gonna be about Joe, as a comedian, this pretty much limits you sleeping either with a waitress at a club, a bartender, or Paul Mercurio.
I like to think that expands me to sleeping with. You know, I used to work in an office, and I fooled around with a coworker, and we were like, oh, we're slick, nobody's gonna know. But a week later, everybody knew, and coworkers like to gossip, they like to talk, and pretty soon all around the office, all I heard was, Joe DeVito's got a giant this, Joe DeVito's got a giant that. A little respect for my privacy would be nice.
I know, that must have been a real problem for you, I'm sure, Kimberly.
Is that true?
Dude, well played. I didn't think anyone would buy that.
But it's funny because he was working at a rooster farm.
Okay.
So it wasn't really anything to brag about.
Yes.
Okay, Kimberly.
Okay. It's all relative, yes.
Is sleeping with somebody you work with a bad idea? And mind you, I, your co-host, am asking this question.
Well, if they were good enough, I guess it's okay. They're up to standards. But yeah, it's probably not the best idea ever, but I know there's been some undercover work done. On this show.
There has been.
Not to name names.
I know. Take that, Lou Dobbs.
Yeah. No, he never called me back. Matt, you're a libertarian. Where do libertarians stand on this? Doesn't matter.
Look, the Daily Mail, can I just say the Daily Mail, who is a very reputable newspaper?
Of course. I love that.
Kingdom.
Yes.
No, it's not the M-A-L-E.
Barry, the lead here, almost half of the encounters took place on office premises.
Mm.
That was the last line of the story. That should be the first line of the story.
Yeah,
people are humping in the office.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I mean, as a libertarian, people got to do what they got
to
do.
I maintain that this is the best way to meet your spouse, because they have more in common with them than you would in a bar.
It's like college. You're going to meet people in college.
Yeah,
you're going to meet people at work. This is where you spend your
time. Like Match.com.
This is why single people who work at home don't date, because they also go crazy and get addicted to pornography. Sometimes for years at a time they'll be on.
But Andy works here.
Bill, you have slept with everyone you work with, and by work with I mean the people you sleep with in the shelter.
Working it with them.
Yes.
I don't even understand what the gripe is. It's not, sexual harassment is way different than dating someone. The two are completely separate issues.
Until it breaks up, though. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's true. But the fact of the matter is, I would be a virgin if it wasn't for workplace sex and booze. It's the only way you meet with people. The only time you ever spend a lot of time with people, and believe me, I got a lot of things I need to work through before I can get them interested. And also, I will say this, in the immortal words of our relationship expert, Cody,
yeah.
Not to put too fine a point on.
Nobody has said it better than Cody, I believe.
Gosh.
No, but I will say this. No workplace relationship ever ends well.
No, God, no.
Because you can't, because somebody has to quit. Almost always
somebody,
because like it, no matter what happens, you're just like, you just see each other and it's like this simmering hatred.
And then it becomes like a stalker situation.
Yes.
You get escorted out by News Corp security.
I'm trying to think on what side of those I've been on, but there's been a number of them. All right. No, I kid.
You're kidding.
The trick is to do it on your boss's desk.
Oh, that's nice.
That way you always have the memories.
Yeah, that's true.
Or hope they get hired by CNN.
All right. Do you have a comment on my finger? No. Do you have a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeyefoxnews.com. You got a video of your animal doing something like Cody, perhaps? I don't think anybody could be like Cody. I think Cody won the Cody Award, named after Cody Willard.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Go to foxnews.com/redeye and click on submitting video, and we might use it. Remember Cody Willard?
I slept with him, and he had to leave.
Still to come. Stop at the halftime report from TV's Andy Levy. Oh, my goodness.
Gross.
Tonight's Halftime Report is sponsored by Strawberries, that small, juicy, edible red fruit often used in making jams, jellies, and preserves. Thanks, Strawberries.
We're back. Let's find out if we got anything wrong so far. For that, we go to TV's Andy Levy. Hey, Andy.
How are you, Greg?
Good show so far, don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, go ahead.
No, rolling along.
Yeah, no, I've been enjoying it.
I think Cody added a lot.
think Cody did have a lot.
Yeah,
I think Cody spoke for a lot of viewers.
Cody did.
Yeah.
He kind of just came into this show, said, hey.
And made it his own.
Yeah, he did.
Because you know what he did, Greg?
What?
He had fun with it.
He did.
And that's something that you all could learn from, I think.
That's true.
I don't know how to have fun with it.
I know.
That's why I see a therapist.
Yep. Washington Post story about White House counsel Catherine, whatever her name is.
Rumler.
Kimberly, you said, why do you want to focus on real scandals when you can focus on shoes of the Washington Post? To be fair, 5 days before this little blog post went up, the Washington Post did publish a long story about how Rumler and other White House aides decided not to tell the president about the IRS scandal.
Yes, my point is they should focus on real scandals and not trivialize it with shoes. Do we concur? Yes?
Fair enough.
And also to back up that point, Andy, none of us read that other story.
Yeah.
Cody did.
No, it's a fair point.
That's why Cody screamed.
Silent screaming loudly.
Yeah. Matt, you said this is what newspapers do in general. They butter up sources, which, you know, I guess is fine. Can we agree, though, the only people who think anyone in Washington is glamorous are people who live in Washington?
Yes.
No, we can't agree. That's
really?
No, seriously, that's the problem. There is an audience out there. There are people who wake up on Sunday mornings and watch the Sunday morning talk show.
Yes.
Right?
But they don't think that those people are glamorous.
You know, Michelle Obama's on the cover of a lot of magazines. Barack Obama's on the cover of a lot of magazines.
Okay, fashion. But they're different because they are radiant.
Exactly. No, unfortunately, Washington has at least some glamour. Okay, you're right. They don't have much in general. But there is a weird interest that people have in looking at this as some kind of glamorous spectator sport. It's gross, but it happens.
And Andy, men cannot be radiant.
Can't they?
No, because you have to be pregnant to be radiant.
I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true.
He's radioactive.
He's radioactive. McConnell glows.
That's the toner, remember.
Yes. Dad sues school over son getting kicked off track team. Joe, you said that dad is claiming his son is being bullied by the coach and suggested that maybe he's actually being bullied because of his name, which I won't even try to pronounce. Should point out, he's not claiming the coach actively bullied him. He's saying that kicking him off the team constitutes bullying.
Yeah, well, the word bullying no longer has any meaning.
Clearly,
people just say any unpleasant experience they come.
As a bully, you are outraged.
As a bully, yeah, I'm outraged. Look, you know what? I do get annoyed by that because people apply it to like something displeasing to me happened. Well, it's bullying. Yeah. And I ask, really, was your head held in a toilet back like in the good old days?
Back like what you used to do to people?
Oh no, I was on the receiving end of those.
Babies. Really?
Oh hell yeah! Well, look at me.
All right.
What's happening now?
I apologize for that, but you pissed me off.
Yeah.
And when I see you in the bathroom, me and Bill go, yeah, we're putting that head in the stall.
I was doing a headstand, so it was bad. Yeah.
No, it was really bad. It was you were in there, and Dobbs and I and Geraldo, we were, like, smoking cigarettes. And then he comes in, and we say, why not? Let's do it. Dobbs actually held DeVito upside down by his little feet.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then O'Reilly came in and just kicked him in the gut.
He kept yelling caution while they were doing it.
Yeah. You're gonna end the flesh zone. Yeah.
Don't get me started on Geraldo's patented mustache maneuver. You don't want to know. Mm. Or do you? Tweet me. I'll let you know.
The dirty Rivera.
You don't.
The dirty
Rivera. Oh, wow.
Kimberly, you said this used to be America, but last week you decided it's not. Did something happen last week, or had you just had enough?
Well, any number of scandals, and it doesn't even have to really be last week. It's been coming for a long time. But this is the type of lawsuits that we're seeing now. Right. Everybody feels entitled. Everybody's a Julia and wants to get what they have coming to them, whether it's birth control or whether it's college varsity letters and scholarships, and they get to be included in the team. I mean, but dodgeball is banned.
Yeah.
Does that say it all?
Yeah, pretty much. Matt, why do you say the track coach is obviously terrible?
Because he has a really fast runner and he fired him for skipping a couple practices.
Well, okay, the only proof you have that the kid was a really fast runner is that his dad says so.
True, but I have a feeling that his dad wouldn't say that if it wasn't at least partly true, because then the track coach could totally say, kid's slow, dad's crazy, and then the lawsuit would be dismissed. But also, the reason why I'm thinking that he is a lousy high school coach is that he is a high school athletic coach. And I went to high school,
yikes.
And Spud O'Neill, you owe me $100 million, and I'm not even joking.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that you think the dad who's suing for $40 million because his son's constitutional right to be on a track team was violated must have some truth to something else that he says.
Look, you know, it's America. Everyone's a villain.
Right.
No, I agree with Matt. We know that this kid is fast because I don't know if you noticed, but there was an action shot of him jumping.
Mm. Mm.
So there you go. He wasn't on the ground. He was jumping.
I don't even get that.
It was an action shot.
And it is possible for coaches just to punish you because they don't like you personally. That happens all the time.
Right. It's possible. We just don't. Matt seemed to just assert it as a fact, and we sort of don't know
We're
either way,
Matt's
it
side.
Seems like.
Okay. Just so you know. Yeah.
All right. Can all be on Matt's side. That's fine. Meanwhile, the kid was a freshman, but the dad is complaining that the coach wouldn't let him run on the varsity team.
Because he says he's faster than guys on the varsity team.
Right. But sometimes coaches also might want to just let seniors play as sort of like respect for the work that they've put in.
No, what is this, a nanny state? You're not fast. You can't play.
What part of this not being American are you not understanding?
Okay. I know. Greg, you mentioned that you hated extracurricular activities in high school.
Yes.
Is that because you always got asked to play sleepy?
Yes.
Yeah. I can see that being annoying. 3D food printers.
Yum.
We actually did this story?
Yes, we did.
I can't believe that. Greg, you asked Joe, could this be in your mind bigger than the internet? How is he supposed to answer that?
He's supposed to say, yes, Greg, you're absolutely right.
I actually answered it in my mind.
Yes.
Do it again now, watch.
All right. All right, but he was, all right, never mind. Joe, you said this stuff sounds disgusting, which, okay, granted, but yeah. A, it's an early prototype, and B, if it feeds hungry people, does it matter?
Well, it doesn't keep it from sounding disgusting.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe that's the way we're just headed towards the Soylent. Sometimes a convenient Soylent Green type product doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah. I agree.
Only if it's made out of people.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
not having to decide what to eat.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Whole thing about Star Trek phasers, but I won't get into it. workplace romance survey. Matt, you said as a libertarian, people got to do what they got to do. Shouldn't it be, as a libertarian, it's up to workplaces to set their own policies?
Yeah. It was shorthand. Libertarian.
for example, I think that whatever News Corp's policy is the correct one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Good answer.
I don't have to say
Thank
that.
You. Right? Thank you. Greg, you said no workplace relationship ever ends well.
True.
In fact, just last week, Red Eyes Tom O'Connor married a former coworker.
Well, that's true.
But former.
Yes.
Well, right, actually, I was at a wedding this weekend where two current coworkers just got married.
There was that one, too, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Red Eyes Tom O'Connor, Bill.
No, I'm just trying to back up your point.
Okay.
You could have said thank you instead of doing a stupid shout-out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stupid shout-out.
Is that why, Bill, you're so tan?
This is not tan. How many times do I have to tell you? I'm covered in toner.
All right.
Covered in something.
And not starving anymore.
I'm done.
Because you got free food at the wedding.
Yes, that's why I go to weddings.
All right, coming up, can one survive and thrive while living within the confines of Central Park? Kimberly Guilfoyle discusses her latest book,
How?
I Bite the Heads Off Live Squirrels and Use the Turtle Pond for All My Bathing Needs.
True.
But first, who should play Hillary Clinton in a biopicture? I'd go with someone famous or unknown, but what do I know? Nothing. Who fits the bill to play Hill? Scarlett Johansson, Amanda Seyfried, if that's how you say it, Reese Witherspoon, are among an array of actresses being considered to play Hillary Clinton in a new movie about the ex-Secretary of State's formative years as a Washington lawyer in the mid-70s. That's the 1970s. When asked whether the tentatively titled Rodham would have sex scenes, the film's scriptwriter told the Daily Telegraph, a paper, not an actual telegraph, Kimberly. It's an evolving process, so I don't know. She was an attractive 26-year-old with an amazing future, and that's our thematic focus. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear God, that's a yes. This sounds like a thing. That's a thing, and therefore it should be discussed in something.
Lightning round. Lightning round.
Matt, I'm worried that Hollywood might end up being too hard on her.
I'm not. So I did a Google image search on young Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
She was fetching sometimes in the 70s. But apple cheeks, Brezhnev glasses, and like the dark eyebrow and blonde hair. Do you know who comes up like that? None of those three actresses at all.
Who?
Lindsay Lohan.
Ooh.
Think about it.
Not bad.
I can see that. Joe, the movie's due out sometime before 2016, the presidential election. Coincidence?
Again?
Yes.
Didn't we just have one of those?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the actresses they're talking about, play these three babes. I think, was Bill Clinton involved in the casting process here?
Oh.
He was like, yeah, a little revisionist history. By the way, in my biopic, I will be played by either George Clooney or Hugh Jackman. I haven't figured out yet.
By the way, that's a...
Reese is going to get it.
This is a good point, though.
What?
Every average Joe, whenever they hire an actress or an actor to play you, they're pretty much twice as good looking
as
you are.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking more for you would be kind of like Joe DeRosa.
It's really, double my pleasure that way, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
KG, as a former wife of a politician, how would you react were Hollywood to do a movie about your life story? It could happen, you know.
I think it would be amazing.
Yes, who would play you?
Who should?
I don't know. Bill and Drag, maybe?
No, that is a terrible idea.
I thought it was a lovely compliment.
Gosh, how rude.
What do you think the choice should be for Hillary?
Well, I think that Reese would do a good job.
Yeah.
I don't think Scarlett Johansson, but I think Reese would do it justice, especially since we saw her edgier side, all handcuffed and, weirded out in the street and yelling at cops.
Yeah.
So she's got range.
That's a good point. Bill, are you upset that you weren't considered? You are a sequential hermaphrodite and could actually change your gender.
Mm. They should just film that. I think people would go to the theaters just to watch me change from one to another. Mm-hmm. For me, it would be... If there was a Red Eye movie, it goes back to Aaron Moran or Billie Jean King.
Yeah.
And I think it won, like, an A block of Billie Jean King, and then I'll morph into Aaron Moran
by the end of it. All right.
Chachi loves this.
Speaking of morphing, it's gridlock on the Big Rock. 60 years after Sir Edmund Hillary, first scaled the world's tallest peak, Mount Everest is now dealing with crowds of climbers, according to National Geographic, whatever that is. Advances in equipment have made the once insurmountable mount completely congested. Many mountaineers complain of waiting in lines for up to 2.5 hours on their way to the top. I know it bothered me, and I was there just looking for an Arby's. There wasn't one there, Joe. Why do people want to do dumb stuff like that? I'm a mountaineer.
And, you know, I read the National Geographic article, and it said that on the way up, the mountain is actually littered with piles of poop and dead frozen people.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because people don't realize the Sherpas are independent contractors.
Yes.
If you're going down, they're just like, see ya.
Yeah.
They don't have any obligation to save you.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen some gruesome pictures of frozen Sherpas, but that's not at Mount Everest. That just happens to be in my walk-in freezer, Matt. Should they restrict the number of climbers?
I don't know. Probably.
I can tell you care. You care.
No, people should get a different hobby. I mean, mountain climbing is great. Why don't you, instead of going to the same... I mean, it shows that humans are getting better at doing great, incredible things. Awesome. So why don't you go to the least climbed tall mountain?
Yes.
That would be super badass if you did that instead of doing the frozen Sherpa poop.
KG, don't people climb Everest so they can tell people they climbed Everest? That's all it's about. They don't really care about the mountain, do they? They just want to brag.
It's an ego stroke.
Yes.
Right? And I don't want to climb anything that I can't do it in my Louboutin.
Yeah, that's true. You should do that in your high heels.
Die. That'd be amazing. No, frozen.
It would be fun. I think it would be fun. Bill does it all the time when he's climbing up 9th Avenue at 4 a.m. Litter's becoming more and more of a problem, Bill.
He doesn't care.
It is true. They said that in the article. So if you can try to argue with them, you're going to lose. People are complaining because they have to wait 2.5 hours to climb to the peak of this mountain. This is a horrible problem since some starving Chinese kid while trying to eat a rat.
Yeah.
This entire thing should just been called white people problems.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Don't leave now because we've got one more story. Oh, look at that book.
Oh, my God.
If you don't have that book, then you're probably a communist. Joy of Hate, Amazon.com. Autograph copy, ggutfeld.com. I'll sign it. You can bet. What do turtles have to do with Obamacare? I've been asked that question 3 times today. More like, what don't they have to do with Obamacare? Rand Paul explained recently in a speech. The Kentucky senator and doctor observed that under the president's plan, there will be many more medical diagnostic codes that doctors will have to use when telling the government about injuries sustained by Americans. Take it away, Ron Paulson.
There's 2 new injury codes under Obamacare for injuries sustained from a turtle.
The codes are
Hey, you might say, well, turtles can be dangerous, but why do you have to have two codes? Well, you have, your doctor needs to inform the government whether you've been struck by a turtle or bitten by a turtle. There is a new code for, I see some alcohol out there, walking into a lamppost. There's also a code for walking into a lamppost, subsequent encounter. I guess that's if you don't learn. There is a code for injuries sustained from burning water skis.
That's crazy.
You know, Matt, you were saying in the green room that Obama's healthcare system will end up saving us all. I was surprised coming from the editor of Reason.
Right. Yeah. speaking of Reason, we had an article about this a couple of months back about how doctors are going galt, which is a Celtic expression, as you know.
Yeah.
And this predates Obamacare. This is the last 30 years Medicare has been imposing these codes on everybody, and people diagnose based on the code, not necessarily on the diagnosis, because that governs the reimbursement schedules. And I know you're asleep already, but
but it makes sense. But
I'm not.
But it's actually centralizing, and doctors are now basically ticket punchers. They're working for hospitals. They're not sole proprietors, and they hate it. And Obamacare doubles down on all of that. And so doctors who have good practices are like, screw this, and they're walking away.
That's a scary, scary thing, Kay Gill. There's a bunch of new diagnostic codes focused on bird injuries. Has America gone mad, or has mad gone America?
I'm going to have to get back to you.
That was a question I just made up.
But now you've made me so afraid that I'm going to have to immediately, as my next husband, marry a doctor. So I don't have to deal with any of this, right? House calls.
Yeah.
Hey, honey.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about like Dr. J.
What? No, a real doctor, so that you can have
he is
your
a real doctor.
Attention.
How dare you?
I know.
Unbelievable.
Oh, just because he plays basketball. Joe, what do you make of this?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I think they need to streamline it to one code if you're attacked by a turtle with a burning water ski as you smash into a lamppost. And that way we cut out a lot of the red tape on something like that.
Yes.
I guess what happens when you attack by a turtle? You say it all happens so fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it happens. And the turtle wins the race in the end.
Right?
Remember that?
Yeah, heavy. Well,
you
added nothing to that joke, KJ. Bill, last word to you. 120% of America does not support Obamacare, a fact that is not in the teleprompter.
No, nor I don't think that's actually not a percent.
You made that up.
Yeah,
I think that. When I looked at the story and I realized all the variables, I gotta go back to Cody, where I was just like, I think he put it best.
Yeah, he did. Cody, I think, is a modern day Voltaire.
I think you voiceovered that. I knew it. That wasn't real.
That was legit. We don't doctor our videos.
Aiden.
Or do we?
God bless you, Cody, wherever you are. I'm not assuming you're dead. I'm just assuming you're miserable. All right.
Wow.
Talking about the dog.
That's terrible.
I mean, the dog. Because he's making that funny noise. He might have a problem. Call me, Cody. All right, we're going to close things out. I know you can't call because you have pause. Post-game wrap-up from TV's Andy Levy. Clips of recent shows. FoxNews.com/Red Eye. Who are those people?
Sounds like him.
I know. TV's Andy Levy, post-game wrap-up.
Thanks. Hey, Matt, what's the libertarian position on abortion?
I don't know, and why are you making me so uncomfortable?
Because you told me to ask you that.
Oh, right. Reason.com has a very good forum on that on the site. Go check it out for those who are interested, unlike me.
Excellent. Joe, upcoming gigs?
Thursday, June 6th, I'll be back in my old hometown of New Milford, Connecticut at the Soul Lounge. And this Thursday I'm off, so if any lady's interested in casual sex, I can be reached through my website.
I'm sensing a theme tonight.
Just not ones in the workplace.
Yeah. Hey, Kimberly, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling raspy. Can you tell?
Yeah, it's kind of sexy.
It's working for me.
Yeah, like she needed more of it.
Absolutely.
She needed an extra veneer of sexiness. Oh, let's just make her voice raspy.
You can never have too many veneers of
but
sexiness.
It's real. Yes. It's real. It's real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye.
Unlike Bill. All right. Kimberly.
What?
Schultz.